Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, and this is the story of Mary and Joseph's escape to Egypt. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. Now, the story of countless innocent babies being murdered is how the Christmas story ends. We often don't include that as part of the Christmas reading or Christmas plays because it just wouldn't fit. I mean, we'd rather not think about it because it's messy. And it's messy to explain. Pastor Sherry Hansen of Galesburg, Illinois, tells about a time where this was included 1 year in the play. And it was by an outspoken second grader named Lily. Lily was very observant and intelligent, and nothing escaped her notice. Pastor Sherry was about to offer the closing prayer after the children's Christmas play, when all of a sudden she felt a tug on her pant leg. She looked down, and here was Lily, who had played the part of King Herod, and she was motioning for the microphone. Now, Pastor Sherry thought that this is going to be one of those spontaneous, memorable moments that children are so famous for. So she gave the microphone to Lily, still in costume, who took it and glared at the audience and said, "I'm King Herod. I've been watching you, and I'm going to kill your babies." Now, that's a rather jarring end to a Christmas program. But according to the Bible, that's how it does end. 2 years after Jesus is born, the Magi have come and left, and they didn't go back to King Herod. And Herod realized he had been tricked, and he's enraged. His authority is threatened by this now so-called newborn king of the Jews. And he gives orders that all the male children of 2 years and younger are to be murdered in the area. But Joseph had been warned, and he left under cover of night. We don't like to think of the Christmas story ending that way. We like to think about Mary being tender and mild, and Joseph being strong and obedient, and Jesus being holy and innocent. But then there's Herod, who brings it all to a jarring end. Now, scholars debate about how many children were actually slaughtered in this action, but we're just not sure because there's no historical record of this event. And the reason why it didn't make it into the historical record is because there were too many other atrocities that outweighed this atrocity that Herod had committed. On this Sunday, we are asked to call to mind that this is how the Christmas story ends. And over the centuries, historians have noted that Christmas has been marked by a great many tragedies and suffering. One historian by the name of Robert Blankenship refers to this as Herod's rage. And I'd like to read you an excerpt from one of his books. And this is Robert Blankenship. "I think of other Christmases and how the spirit of Herod has lived on in more recent times in our own nation's history. On Christmas Eve of 1776, George Washington and his men were crossing the Delaware River on a frigid night to launch a sneak attack. Soon they would be retreating to Valley Forge. Many men would die, and those who lived would leave the blood from their frozen feet in the snow. King George was determined not to let the American colonies be free and independent, so Washington's men had to suffer and fight and die like this. Call it Herod's Rage. On Christmas Day, 1861, Abraham Lincoln was sitting upstairs in the White House watching his 10-year-old son die. Downstairs, a committee of Congress was debating whether or not to arrest Mrs. Lincoln as a Southern sympathizer and a national security risk, since her brothers were fighting for the South and her sister was married to a Confederate general. Some of the bloodiest battles in history had already been fought in this Civil War, and even bloodier battles were yet to come. Call it Herod's Rage. On Christmas Day in 1944, the German Luftwaffe was mercilessly bombing the beleaguered 101st Airborne. The frozen bodies of 8,600 GIs were laying in the snow. Brigadier General McAuliffe was asked by the Germans to surrender, and he issued a one-word reply, "Nuts." The Battle of the Bulge would continue. Call it Herod's Rage. During the Christmas season of 1972, Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger unleashed the most brutal bombings of the Southeast Asian War, the so-called Christmas bombings of what was then North Vietnam. In just a matter of weeks, they would leave Vietnam, accepting virtually the same peace terms that were on the negotiating table before the bombings began. But in one final fury, there was more devastation, more civilians killed, and more pilots lost. And it all happened at Christmas time. Call it Herod's Rage. December 26th of 2004, a tsunami strikes in the Indian Ocean, killing tens of thousands of people in a dozen countries. Call it Herod's Rage. The unmistakable message here is that God does permit evil, injustice, and suffering in the world. After all, he has given us a free will. And as broken human beings, we oftentimes misuse that free will to do evil. But ultimately, God dominates over evil. But in the meantime, God the Father also limits Satan. He has Satan on a leash and says, "You can go this far and no further." If you look closely at the story, you can see how God the Father is limiting the limitations that he imposes on Satan. An example of the limiting influence, the Magi arrive with valuable gifts necessary to pay for their extended journey through Egypt. The Magi are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Joseph is warned in another dream to get out of town. And after Herod dies, Joseph is given another dream to say it's okay to go back to the land of Israel. But then Joseph discovers that Herod's son, Archelaus, has taken his father's place, and he wasn't much better. Once again, God the Father intervenes and warns Joseph now in a fourth dream, stay out of Judea and settle in Galilee. And throughout the story, we see where the prophecies are fulfilled, confirming that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. You get the very clear impression that God is in control, that he is pulling the strings. Clearly, he has Satan on a leash, and when Satan gets too far out, he yanks him back. At the end of Christmas, we always wish each other a Happy New Year, hoping for good times ahead. But God's Word says, regardless of the times ahead, God stands as Lord over all of it. Heading into the new year can be very scary to think about for some, especially in the midst of a pandemic. But remember, worry is a matter of imagining the future as if God is not going to be there. This is something I refer to as emotional atheism. I want you to hear for yourself what the Word of God says about the future. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that is what I want to offer you, is an opportunity to receive hope that regardless of what the future holds, that God will indeed be there. He will stand as Lord over the time. He will limit Satan's influence, and in time, he will destroy evil. Amen.